and why spending free money is the key to a global recovery, fund manager Eric Lonergan on his modest proposal. You're welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RT Radio 1 with Richard Crowley and Cullum O'Mongoyne. Well, the president of the ECB, Mario Draghi, has said that unconventional instruments are needed to tackle the deep economic and unemployment crisis of the Eurozone. Just such an unconventional instrument has been proposed by Brown University economist Mark Blyth in the US and London-based Irish fund manager and author Eric Lonergan. In a joint paper they've written for Foreign Affairs, the periodical, they say the cheapest, most direct way of stimulating the faltering global economy is to make cash transfers to households and let them spend it as they wish. And Eric Lonergan has been outlining the plan.
The essential proposal is quite simple and straightforward. So what Mark Blyth and I are proposing is that, for example, in the case of the Eurozone, the European Central Bank would be given the ability to transfer cash to all households across the Eurozone. Now, importantly, this would not be determined by governments. We would still maintain the inflation targeting approach of the European Central Bank. So its primary objective would still be to generate something close to 2% inflation. But really, we think this is actually the tool that they need effectively to deliver that underlying rate of inflation.
And how much and to whom?
You'd be looking at something like in the order of magnitude of maybe 2 to 5% of GDP. On the basis of the GDP of the Eurozone, you'd be looking at something in the region of 1,000 euros, maybe more than that, to be distributed to every household across the Eurozone. Now, I should stress, that's an estimate. It would be highly likely if this policy was implemented that you'd maybe start at that kind of a level and then you would try and gauge the reaction on the economy. But actually, we do have a reasonable degree of confidence in our ability to forecast the potential effect, because there have been policies similar to this implemented in other parts of the world.
Could you just give us a few examples of that?
Well, the best example would be the tax rebates that George W. Bush introduced in the recession in the United States. But essentially, it was a cash transfer. In that instance, it was perhaps around 1% of U.S. GDP, and it had a measurable impact on the economy. The degree of predictability of the impact of this proposal is almost certainly greater than the current policies. So, for example, the impact of negative interest rates, which is what the European Central Bank is doing currently, is profoundly uncertain. This is completely uncharted territory. And in fact, it could cause major distortions in financial markets and the way people behave.
Or perhaps a different approach that has been tried elsewhere is spending money on infrastructure, where you get the double bang for your buck of jobs and also the return to the exchequer on that money.
Well, that's a very reasonable perspective for people to have. The problem with standard fiscal policy, and infrastructure is a very good example, is it's not timely. It takes many years to plan for infrastructure properly. And also, infrastructure can get bogged down by the political process and vested interests interfering with the decision making. The beauty and simplicity of what we're suggesting is it carries the advantages that central banks have, which is all they do is need to call a meeting. They can even do it as a conference call. And the impact on the economy can be virtually instantaneous. So you remove these policies from the electoral cycle and from political bickering, and you give central banks the ability to do it very quickly and effectively.
But how do we know the money would stimulate the economy? An awful lot of people would say with maybe 1,200 euro, they would try to at least clear some of the credit card, try and reduce the debt. And at the end of the day, that money just goes back to the banks, who are reluctant to lend.
Well, again, that's a very, very fair and reasonable point. But what we would prefer, that households are making the decision as to what to do with the cash. If some households would be better off repaying debt, that's absolutely fine. Other households will save some of the money, perhaps spend some of it. Others may use it to spend on education. There are other households who are genuinely cash strapped and their needs are greater, and they may just need the money to see them over in the short run. Frankly, I don't have a problem with any of that. In fact, I think it would be far preferable to any of the current policies. At the moment, you have a situation where people who are saving are effectively being penalized by extremely low interest rates, with the central bank engaging in these contortions to try and get people to borrow and to spend, which people actually don't want to do using credit. Now, if what happens is that you know, many households use it to repay debt and there isn't much impact on demand, that's fine. We can do some more, and those households will be in a stronger position. So really, there's great advantage in allowing households make the decisions as to what they want to do with their balance sheets and with their incomes. The problem with the current system is the central bank is trying to force people to do things they don't want to do. You know, households don't want to borrow anymore. They, in many cases, feel they're already stretched, which is part of the reason why interest rate cuts aren't working. And similarly, savers don't want to spend their money or invest in risky assets. You know, some savers want to have the stability of interest income, particularly you can think of pensioners, and they want to be able to put their money in a bank and live off the interest income. Well, central banks are trying to force these different constituencies to behave in ways they don't want to.
Where does the money come from? I mean, you mentioned that George W. Bush's government gave what was in effect tax rebates, so it came, as it were, from the central exchequer. But where does this money come from if it's been given out via the European Central Bank? Who pays for this?
Right. Well, this is the great advantage that all areas that can issue currency have, is they can create currency. And in fact, this is what they're already doing. So if you look at the current policies of the European Central Bank, when it provides liquidity to banks, which it's done on a huge scale, and the same if you look in the United States with quantitative easing, the same in the United Kingdom, central banks have already effectively created something like 20% of GDP in money, which they have just created out of thin air. Now, what we're proposing would be of much, much smaller magnitude. Part of the problem is that the money they're creating isn't actually getting into the economy. It's just being held with banks, and it's having no effect. It's just creating distortions in financial markets. So we're just saying they should use effectively their balance sheet in the same way as they are currently, but actually they could use an awful lot less money. So if they transfer that cash directly to the household sector, we are probably talking about something between 2 and 5% of GDP. So it could be 1,000 euros per capita. It could be 3 or 4,000 euros per capita. But that order of magnitude should be enough to generate a sustaining recovery within the eurozone. But if you look at the size of the European Central Bank's balance sheet, or you look at the Bank of England and the Fed, they're currently using about 20% of GDP. So you get much more bang for your buck if you transfer the cash directly to households.
Eric Lonergan.